All right, crew, was mentioned already, it's just great to be back. Great to be back Sunday and especially Wednesday for our intimate time together where we get to pick up topics. As many of you know who have been at Westmount for a while, if you don't know, if you're newer, oftentimes on a Wednesday night, we look to get a little more practical, applied theology, and particularly it bubbles up from many questions that you have. And the subject matter for this month, and it would seem bleeding into next month, comes from really a litany of questions in the environment that we're in that all revolve around sliced bread. No, I'm just kidding. Technology. If you got the reference there, good for you. But yes, that is a form of technology that we will be talking about as we move forward tonight. Now, I want you to think a few ways that we're going to prime the pump really with this series and with tonight. I just want you to think about where you fall on this spectrum. And this is, again, these are just proposals. One of the things with practical theology on a Wednesday night, it can be debated and discussed. I want to submit to you different kinds of people. If you look at the grid there, at the top, those that use lots of technology, and at the bottom, those that use minimal amount. And then on either side, the technology is bad, technology is not bad. Notice I didn't say technology is good. I don't think people necessarily go that far these days. They say, it's not bad. And I want you to think about where you land on the spectrum. I want to submit two types of Christians that are at bookends with technology. Christian A, you know him. He's the guy, there's no good that can come from technology. I really don't use it. Maybe some talk about going off farming, living off the land, getting off the grid. You know those types of Christian. No, technology is inherently bad. I really don't want to use it. That's Christian A. Christian B, you know him too. He's the guy with everything. I mean, Apple Watch is passe for him, right? He's in everything. Right? All the technology is there. Technology really isn't that bad. And I use it liberally, and I thank God for technology. You know those two types of Christians, and you know where you fall in that spectrum. Is that fair? All of you in this room fall somewhere between those two, if that makes sense. So if you just, and I just want you to think about that. Right now, when I say to you technology, what is your thought? What is your own relationship to technology? And let that be your meditation as we begin. But a few disclaimers. It's kind of funny, as I was walking up to sit down here, do you know what Jerry Vanio said to me? He's like, what do you know about AI? I kind of laugh. If you know Jason Belgrave, you know the answer is nothing. No, absolutely nothing. In fact, let me tell you this, beloved, of the three elders at this church, I am the least qualified to be doing this study. Is it not funny? I'm the dinosaur. Here you have a former IT infrastructure guy in David Alden setting up networks, right, for a small school. Jerry Joy needs no introduction. He's the guy with the Apple Watch and his PhD in AI, right? And then there's Jason Belgrave. Just found out about sliced bread. No, I'm kidding. Right? But the point here, as you can see this month, is not to get into all the inner workings of AI and so on and so forth. I'm going to leave that to someone like Jeremy, who will be taking the baton later into next month, guys that know what they're talking about with AI. I will touch on AI. In fact, sooner than you think, you're going to see a few headlines that you've seen that are just contemporary, a couple from today. This is how pervasive AI is. You cannot go through a day without hearing those two letters. Is that not true? AI this, AI that. So number one, I'm not an expert. And two, this is not about telling you how to use technology. That's not about it at all. This is primarily about a response to technology. This is our attempt to the many questions you're asking about AI and smart everything, really, right? How does a Christian respond to technology? And that's going to be our endeavor. And again, with all of these things, we're not looking to, please hear this up front. We're not looking to give you the Westmount way or David's way or Jerry's way or Jason's way. God forbid. We're just looking, right, to be wise in the way we handle this thing that people, in some sense, when you think about AI, are still trying to figure out. And like all things, we want to lead with what? The Word of God. that is our compass and our guide? Are there principles in God's word that assist us and help us with engaging with everything from sliced bread to AI, right? That's what we want to look at over the next few weeks. Is that fair? Okay, good. So a few headlines, and beloved, you know I like to do this because it shows how current and needed these are. These are a couple first headlines from this week. European scientists created a fake disease called bixoninomania to see if it could trick AI, and it succeeded. David passed this on to me, and I, you know, maybe a few years ago you would have laughed and thought that's impossible. But I want you to think about this. That is true, and if that's true, how much more are you reading that's not true? That you maybe just take as gospel truth, right? Does that make sense? AI accent masking at overseas call center sparks union backlash in Canada. That speaks for itself. Is it, now what is AI doing? It's mimicking, or trying to, a human being. And the way that a call center is run. Isn't that something? Now, that's from this week. How about two from today, beloved? I'm going to give you two headlines. I woke up to these today. So these aren't planned. These are two today. Pennsylvania sues Character AI, saying bot imitated licensed therapist. This is a runaway train now, right? And look at the second one, and this says it all. Atheist Richard Dawkins ready to believe in conscious AI. Friends, that's why we're here. Can you believe it? This is not the stuff of Hollywood movies anymore. You are living it. Did you do an internet search today? You have an AI return. You have everyone telling you about AI. Now, again, this series, especially this month, is not predominantly about AI, but AI is pervasive. And the question you're asking rightly is, how do I interact with this thing? I have my one Christian neighbor telling me this is the end of days, doom, doom, doom. This is what they, you know, and giving you a Bible verse for that. And I have other friends saying, listen, embrace it. This is just the beginning, and we got to give God glory for AI. Look at the things we can do. Do you know how much research? I did 10 days of research in 10 minutes. Praise God. Praise God. Where do we land, and how do we think through these things? These are very, very good questions. One resource I want to submit to you, and it's a little weighty or heady, but just by way of to get you thinking, maybe if you haven't, about technology, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. It's in our library, and I have extra copies, and I just want to give you a few of the chapter titles that tell you, yes, we are not engaging rightly with AI, or not AI, technology, I'm sorry. One of his chapters, he talks about that we are addicted to distraction. Technology gives us distraction. You don't want to think? You don't want to roll up your sleeves? What do? Grab your phone. Right? We lose our literacy. It's awful now, isn't it? I mean, Dylan, you were one of the first to tell me you have a generation. Dylan will tell you all about how his peers can't read or write. Right? Very, very honest about a generation that has not been taught rightly. Atticus, he'd comment on this as he's grading papers. Right? Students cannot read, not at KCCS, by the way, different institution. They cannot read and write. They cannot read and write. We fear missing out. Do you ever stop and think how 100 years ago did the guy on the Eastern Ontario farm survive not knowing for his whole life what's going on in Australia? How did he survive? How did he do it? I mean, what's going on in Australia? Because you can't sleep until you know that, right? And we lose meaning, don't we? We get caught in layers of meaning, don't we? That really mean nothing. And we've lost the thing. I was talking to one of you this week about first and foremost, you are who? A Christian. Your identity is in Jesus Christ, not in the Middle East, not in downtown Peterborough. You are a Christian. We lose our meaning with our little phones and our doom scrolling. Who are we? Who are we? Does that make sense? So where are we going? Tonight we're going to attempt to consider the question, what is technology? We're going to talk about discernment next week, discerning technology, which is a really important question if you haven't come to that already. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about technology and the Christian. We're going to look to put it all together and consider that question, relationship to technology proper for the Christian. So that's where we're going. And as I say, we'll bleed into June. The idea is maybe to have some more workshop feels, especially with something like AI, and we consider technology more specifically. So what is technology? Just a few definitions garnered from technology to start. Britannica says this: the application of scientific knowledge to the practical aims of human life, or, as it is sometimes phrased, to the change and manipulation of the human environment. Okay, these are suppositions or proposals for what technology is. That's one. Wikipedia, you talk about a technological household name now, right? Wikipedia. Technology is the application of conceptual knowledge to achieve practical goals, and also the products resulting from such efforts, including both tangible tools such as utensils or machines, and intangible ones such as software. Also a wordy definition, but you see what they're getting at there. Dictionary.com, the total knowledge and skills available to any human society for industry, art, science, etc. That's really broad. Tony Renke, by the way, who wrote that book that I just suggested, and it was very helpful for me thinking through this and another book that he wrote, says simply this: technology is applied science and amplified power. It's art, method, know-how, formulas, and expertise. I think that begins to get us in the right direction, right? In a word, it's advancement. It's human advancement, right? It's innovation. It's taking the things of God and applying them and amplifying, right, productivity and so on. So we're going to first, as we begin, those, of course, are technology presented by definition and worldly definition. Let's look at some pictures, if I can say it that way, in Scripture. So we're going to consider a few passages as we begin this very light biblical theology. Let's go to creation, Genesis 3:21. Someone else grab Genesis 4:22. We get this right away. Let's just have two of you read loud and clear. Okay, here we have the Lord himself now taking his creation, and do you see what he's doing? Reassembling his creation, right, and applying it to the advancement, right, of these two, freshly out of the garden, in a very simplified sense. That's in a very good way. What about Genesis 4:22? So we have on the other end, and we learned this in Genesis, the line of Cain, right? We have this forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. Kind of blows up. We talked about this when we went through Genesis, the caveman scenario that's posited, right, in school systems or today still. Here you have advancement at an early stage, not only from God's hand, but from the line of Cain, right? So we want to keep that in mind. We see technology from the earliest chapters of Scripture. We see this application. So not only a creation, we see it then ordered by God. Genesis 6, who will read 14 to 16?
Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with the lower, second, and third decks.
There's a lot of technology there, isn't it? When you think about what the Lord is ordering for Noah to do, it's almost what's not stated in there. You have measurements, right? How is he cutting the wood? How is he putting it together? I mean, we have a reference, right, to the tar here, so to speak. But this is ordered by God, right? You apply knowledge and skill to the making of this thing. Go and do it. So we have technology at creation. We have it ordered by God. And of course, famously, as we've learned, misused by man. A few more chapters over, we've learned in Genesis, it sets the table for so many things, these 11 chapters. This famous account to start chapter 11 is no different. Someone read the first four verses. So you see, ordered by God in Genesis 6, the bitumen, the pitch, the tar, being used for good, technology rightly applied. What do you see in Genesis 11? Man taking elements, similar elements, and misusing technology for an ungodly end. Do you see that? Here we are, we haven't even made it to Genesis 12 yet. And we have technology ordered by God, misused by man. Okay? Now, I struggled for a word for this bucket, I will admit. Unnecessary just seems unsettling to me, but I think you'll get the point as we go to this account in 1 Samuel 17, 4 to 7. You're going to see two types of technology in the David and Goliath account. So let's read them. Someone read 1 Samuel 17, 4 to 7. A lot of impressive technology there with Goliath, isn't it? It just packs this picture of this imposing giant all shielded up with this, for the time, one can imagine, right? This military technology strapped to his body, right? Compared to, let's go down to 38 to 40. Someone read that. So, of course, David wasn't technology free, was he? Do you see that? He employed a very different kind of technology. It's called a slingshot, right? A revival of a slingshot, I'm sure, will come at some point. But compared to Goliath's armor, and that's why I struggled with the word unnecessary, but we know it's unnecessary in the grand scheme of things. God doesn't need armor or a slingshot, does he? For one defying the name of God, he doesn't need either, and that's the point of the account. David is enraged at one that would defy the holy God, the character of who he is. Does that make sense when you think of technology? Okay, good. Use naturally. Go to Job. And this, at this point, might be a word, if you're more inclined to be skeptical of all kinds of technology, note this passage in Job 28, 1 to 11. Someone read that.
Sends his hand forth to the flint. He overturns the mountains at the base. He breaks out channels through the rocks, and his eye sees anything precious. He dams up the streams from flowing, and what is hidden, he brings out to light.
All right, look at verse 2. Iron is taken out of the earth, copper is smelted from the ore. Verse 9, man puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots. In other words, this stuff is in the earth. It's coming out of the earth. This is what man does. Tubal-Cain is simply taking materials that were there and doing this very thing, making technology from materials that God placed in his earth at creation. So it's a very natural thing to take the elements of the earth and to build with them, right? That makes sense. That's what we're, in one sense, naturally to do. But, we use those wisely. Go to Ecclesiastes. Someone read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. You'll excuse the liberality here in the application. We could also say there is a time and a place for technology. Not only certain types of technology, but the application of some of these things. And I think that will become clear as we consider technology later, specific branches. But we have a real problem. One of our issues with technology is a lack of wisdom in its application. Would you not agree? Even just think of your phone right now. We really struggle with using technology wisely. And used rightly, not just an issue of wisdom, we can think properness. Isaiah 28, turn there. Again, going to the prophets for some of these pictures in not only comfort for Israel, but judgment. Isaiah 28, we're going to read 27 to 29, the end of this passage where the Lord has been outlining judgment and now turns to the foundation of who he is and his created order. Someone read 27 to 29. Good 27, dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin. But instead, what? Proper application. It's beaten with a stick, dill is, and cumin with a rod. This is why there might be many uses for your flathead screwdriver, opening doors and so on and so forth. But it was for that specific nail with the flathead screw top. All right, that's a very simple example, right? Where we can use technology rightly. Or miss, don't laugh because I do that, but applied rightly. We need to apply that rightly. Last one, and think about this, all of it, and this is our cue to where we're going with the character of God, it will be judged. Revelation 18. Someone read 7 to 8, and someone else cue up 11 to 14. This, of course, comes in the context of the final judgment coming when evil will be brought down. 7 to 8. Someone read that.
As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a light measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she said, I sit as a king, no widow, mourning as a woman. For this reason, her place will come in a single day.
So we learn in this chapter, before we read the next section, about merchants growing rich. This is Babylon in the fall. Look at verse 7 again. All of that, right, all of those goods, that commerce, that applied technology, we could say, as she glorified herself and lived in luxury. God does not sit idly by with the misuse and abuse and evil use of technology. It will come under the judgment of God. And then finally, 11 to 14. What a picture, right? Look at that list, that laundry list from 11 to 13 of these goods, many precious goods, misused, right? This is the fall of evil here, and it will be judged. And 14 sums it up. All your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. And it's a reminder, all things, good and bad, all uses of things in the created order will stand before the Lord. What did you do with his creation that he gave you? It's not some trivial thing that God's not concerned with the way I do this or that. All of it is subject, right, to the Lord's judgment at some point. Does that make sense? So we see that's just a very brief sweep of technology and scripture. It matters. It matters. I was reading also today about a movement that God is really not concerned about technology. This is kind of the via media of, well, I'm not crazily hyperactive about technology. I'm not a dinosaur. I just think God's not concerned about technology. And there's better things that he's concerned about. No! He's actually directly, beloved, concerned about how you use the technology, how you relate to it. So we're looking to correct maybe some thinking from just whether it is a wrong thinking of God or a wrong view of God or just wrong teaching. So let's sum up what we've just read in Scripture in three takeaways, okay? Number one, technology is part of the created order and a natural outflow of human beings created in the image of God. Does that make sense? Our God is a creator God, and he made us as little creators, did he not? We are to image God. This is a natural thing. And by the way, when you think about caves and mines, he gave us the natural resources to do it. Job 28 teaches us it's a natural thing to want to build and create. So a takeaway as we look at Scripture is this flows right out of who God is. Technology flows out of who he is. Two, technology can be used for great evil and great good. This hardly needs any explanation, does it? You look especially today, and it's true, with examples abounding. And we're going to look at some later. Technology can be used for great, great evil and great, great good. Again, we'll come back to specific examples of that, but I think we get it. And then thirdly, this is one I really want to hammer home tonight. Technology is squarely and completely under the sovereignty of God. Technology is under the sovereignty of God. For those who fret about how crazy things are getting, God is over it. And for those that want to dismiss this as nothing and maybe doing whatever with that technology, no, no, God is on it. Does that make sense? Here's a passage that'll help us cement that in our minds. Go to Isaiah 54. This is what we read earlier. And I hope you caught the language as we were reading it. Someone read Isaiah 54, 16 to 17. Again, in the context here for God's people, Israel, coming off of the seed and Messiah in 53, and now the great work of peace that will be wrought by him. When you think of the end, someone read again 16 and 17.
Heritage. servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord.
All right, what do we see there as Atticus just read? Let's look at it. Number one, God creates the creators. Look at 16, behold, I have created the who? The smith, who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. God says, I created him. I, big C creator, created the little creators. That's under the sovereign hand of God. Two, God orders the users. Look also, I have also created the ravager what? To destroy. So not only has he created the little creators, he orders them for his bidding and his purpose under the sovereignty of God. And three, God governs the outcomes. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And vindication from me. I'm reminded of Proverbs 21:1. The hearts of kings are where? In his hand, and he what? Turns them as he will. Right? This is all under the sovereign hand of God. Whatever is created, good or bad, it's all under God's sovereignty. And he uses it as he wills, all of it. The evil intentions of man and their technology, and the good uses. Does that make sense? Renke helps us a bit here too with this. Autonomous robots chauffeuring us around cities are likely in the near future. Autobots plotting a coup of mankind. Note the reference to Autobots, by the way, dating myself there, is plotting a coup of mankind is more doubtful, but possible in the distant future. But Autobots breaking free from God's sovereign governance will never appear. And then this, no maverick machine, bot, or genetic edit can thwart the governance of God. He can allow them to run amok and do real damage, but he can stop them too. God has set limits. He can and does and will continue to intrude upon our tech aspirations at his own will. What countless catastrophes has he stopped already? That's helpful, isn't it? And I pray whatever side you tend to, it's particularly helpful. I realize I'm kind of blitzing through this here. I should pause to let you interact for a little bit if there's any questions there before I move on and we get back to where we find this principle most assuredly in Scripture. Any thoughts before we go on there as I pause for a moment? Oh, all right, Lynn, a microphone right beside you there.
I actually think it might have started in Genesis 2:9, where there is the tree of life
yep.
and the tree of knowledge mm-hmm. and evil. Mm-hmm. So God knew what Eve was going to do, obviously, and here we are.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Lynn, what I really love about that, we talked about this in Genesis, there is no plan B. It's always plan A under a sovereign God. So Lynn, absolutely right. Elisa, did you have one? Do you?
Yeah.
David right here, Mrs. Vaniel.
Yeah, I myself, when I first heard that AI came out and what it could do, I was afraid because I myself thought that it stems from something evil. I don't trust it. I don't trust phones. I know I use them. I use my phone, but I just don't trust any technology.
Mm.
I don't know. But when you put it the way you did, that God is definitely sovereign over everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm just wondering about AI. I'm glad you're doing this study on AI and mm-hmm. other technology because mm-hmm. What we read in the Bible with other technologies and Genesis and the other books, to me that doesn't tell me that's technology. That's just stuff that God made from the earth,
mm-hmm.
and He gave us wisdom to use it, just like mm-hmm. with doctors. But AI seems to me like, I don't know, it just,
mm-hmm.
it seems like they're playing around with your mind, or mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, we're going to let the specifics of AI, I'm going to leave to the
Maybe
users and the experts.
Sure
no, it's good. But what I will say with AI, because I think many of us share that instinct with AI, especially because it can be, and I mean, some of you that use AI jump in at any time. When you hear what it can do, it arrests you.
It does.
I had someone show me ChatGPT once when it first came out, and it was a limited demo, and I was blown away. I could not believe what it was doing. Another thing Jerry sent to me once was a podcast it completely created. And at the time, and most of you now would say, oh, you can tell the difference. Fair enough. But when it first came out, you couldn't tell the difference.
No,
what is this thing? But at least I wonder, and I'm not, this is just more dialogue. I just wonder at maybe the fret when the Tower of Babel was going up. Have you heard what they're doing in Shinar Plain? What are they doing in Shinar Plain? They're building a tower up to the heavens. And one can imagine, right, the fret then. So, Elise, I'll just say, I think the sovereignty of God helps us here. You and I rightly may be like, what in the world is going on with technology? Mm-hmm. But God isn't. God actually knew before, is it Sam Altman? Is that his name? The Sam Altman, Elon Musk, before they came on the scene, before there was Grok and so on, there was God, mm-hmm. eternal God. Now, Jeremy's got one. David, where did he go there?
Yeah.
Oh, did you have a follow-up there? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just wondering if it's wise for the church to use that kind of technology.
Yeah, we're going to definitely get to that. We'll get to that broadly, but, hang on, David's here to pass it on. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I got two thoughts on that.
Yeah.
The first is, just because something is mystifying or seems really advanced doesn't mean it's more technology than, say, a hammer. They're both technology. Just microchips and software are a much more sophisticated mm-hmm. technology.
Complex.
It's complex.
Yeah.
It's not as simple, but it's essentially the same. It's technology, just like a hammer is technology, or a smelt, like a you know, something for making metal out of iron. Where I would maybe agree with what your assessment is that the people who are creating AI aren't treating it like a hammer, right? So what they think they're doing is different than what we would think they're doing. They think they can actually create consciousness, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible, but because we have an understanding of what consciousness is, they don't. They don't believe the Bible. They don't know what creation is. They don't know who God is, and so they think that, well, we have consciousness, and we just came out of the slime, so why can't we make consciousness from a computer? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So I get it. Their intentions are scary. I don't think they can succeed in their stated goals. Now, there's a whole other aspect of maybe like the spiritual, demonic aspect of it, but that's a different thing. But as far as technology, it's like just because something is sophisticated doesn't mean it's essentially different than something simpler or ancient. Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk, that's really good, Jeremy. And I think Elise on the point, maybe to use your illustration, a hammer can be rightly used to put up this building or to bludgeon someone to death, right? So, but we don't banish hammers because we read someone was bludgeoned by a hammer. I think the right response then is to understand why it was created. But even then, and maybe you'll walk through this, Jeremy, there's even some ickiness in their motivations for creating. But let's say, like when I hear Jerry talk about, he uses AI prolifically, and some of the things it helps Jerry do, I just say, wow, praise God. Praise God that you can do that with AI, right? So, but I think, Elisa, on Jeremy's point, this is why we're doing these nights, to help us, whether you're like you and I, maybe not as prolific as Jeremy and Jerry, or you're using it prolifically and you haven't stopped for a moment to think about what you're doing. How many people are interacting with AI like it's a person? And all the problems. So we're going to talk about that. We're definitely going to talk about that, Elisa. But I think, Jeremy, that's an excellent point, and we need to come out of the gate with it. It is no different to money or a knife in one sense, right? It is something that can be used toward either end. Julie.
I heard today that there's a renowned surgeon in the city that does tremendous and has had great success in complicated surgeries. And his immediate assistant is a robot. And so this is common in surgical rooms. And how long will it be before a robot is actually in the lead?
Yeah. Yeah. And on that, Julie, and maybe because we can look at that both ends, David, was it you or someone was telling me pancreatic cancer? Was it you, David? What was the, what AI is able to do now long before AI, right? And diagnosing pancreatic cancer.
Two or three years ahead of what they normally would discover.
Yeah. So, and again, we, this is probably brand new coming out with some of these things. We just recognize, okay, we need to just stop for a moment and consider. Because we would say, and we're going to talk about medical technology in a moment, that would be a good thing. To preserve life, that would be a good thing. Not a good thing to try and create life and consciousness, but a good thing to do that. Any other questions there? I missed that. You, Connie, was that, or no? Okay. Well, let's pull this back to the scriptures when we think about technology. And again, in its really rudimentary sense, I recognize we're maybe playing a little loosely with it, but you understand what we're going to say. Used by God, right? And evil through, even through evil ends of men. Go to Acts 2. We read this verse recently on a Sunday morning. Someone read it again, Acts 2, 22 to 23. The technology of the cross. Crucifixion. Look at that. They're delivered up, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Let's apply the same grid we did in Isaiah 54. The cross, God creates the creators. Whether Rome or Israel, right? God orders the users, his definite plan, his foreknowledge. And God governs the outcomes. And what is that? The salvation vessel for humanity. God is in this wicked thing, taking technology to crucify a human being, evil intentions of man, and bringing about the great good for humanity. God is sovereign over these things. And that brings us to the question again, Elisa, which you've opened, and Jeremy, you've kept going here. Is technology bad? Is technology good? And let's just meditate on a few things and make sure we're clear on the bad uses of technology. And these might be the ones. Yep, you got one there.
There's an excellent example in 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. Mm-hmm. First time I read this, I was amazed, right? Because there's a word in there that I never expected would have been in the Bible. So it has to do around the context is Israel is going to be at war with the Philistines. Starting in verse 14, I'll read. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. Mm-hmm. He made machines, yeah. War machines.
Very right? Good.
So in this case, they were used to fight the enemy, and it was technology. It was a war machine, but it was good in God's, yeah. God's sight.
Yeah, very good, very good. And I mean, that's a great balancer, right? Maybe especially for the pacifist, right? If there's those there, right? There's just a great, great balance of being used for good. When you think about, is technology bad, is technology good? And it comes back to, Jeremy, what you rightly said, the user, the intent. And AI, and I think you use the word as mystifying as it can be initially, we can't let that stop us from considering it, which the guys will help us to do, and considering the motivation and the user behind it. Yeah, the machine, right? The machine. Very good. Very good. So let's think about the evil intent with technology, the evils that it's used for. And I, again, this is more just to put it on our radar, that we recognize it can be used for evil. Fraud. Right? Think about the many, many ways that fraud is propagated, right, in our land, and just needing whole departments. Credit card companies and banks need whole departments for security because technology, right? It continues to progress by evil men. Counterfeits, not even just bills, but deep fakes. You didn't know probably what deep fake meant a year or two ago. Now you know, because it's everywhere, right? People creating pictures and articles that are absolutely fictitious and made up, but are that make you think that it's real. People's reputations are ruined over this kind of a thing, but this is the evil in technology. Biological weapons, right? And I say biological versus weapons because generally those are the ones with ill intent. Propaganda. You think about ways, what is a modern vehicle for propaganda? Social media, is it not? And that is technology, right? At its not so finest, spreading propaganda. Here's other things to think about. How about the laziness that it's created, fostered, and developed? Have you thought about that? Your phone, you should look at your phone and think, wow, this is killing me innately. It's killing productivity and doing things, is it not? It just panders to the base element of the human person. And all of these digital forms of technology can do that, can do that. Access. Wow, there's a whole few decks we could talk about this. The access to evil that technology gives. I think we all understand what we're saying here. We are in an age now, and many of you know, one of the things I cannot stand about modern news is when you open up an article and it has the graphic content italicized. It's just like, come watch. All the nonsensical, horrible videos spread on social media. Did you see this? Pandering to base elements in the human condition and the access to that. We go back to our 100-year-old Eastern farmer who doesn't even know what's going on in Australia. And he doesn't need to see beheadings in the Middle East, right? And the exposure to harm, how many things have been written about blue light and screens, right? And having them in your pocket or by your ear. How about the damage to your soul? The amount of time, right, that you spend on digital technology. So these we all recognize are evils. It can be used. It's the hammer being used wrongly. Does that make sense? Well, we can't close the night without recognizing, again, we want to balance this right, the blessings of technology. Think about medicine. I know many of you are thankful for diagnostic imaging. Is that not true? It was caught early. Dialysis, surgery, right? Are you thankful for those things? That's technology. Even Julie, as you're talking about the robot, we'll reserve comment for Dr. Robot in a moment, but the fact that I can't believe when I was having my health issues a few years ago, they stuck a camera down my throat I don't know how many times. I'm like, they're sticking a camera down there and they're looking around and he can give me a diagnosis on the spot. He's like, yeah, I see this in there, I see that in there. Crazy, right? So we can give thanks for technological blessings. Communication, how about emergencies? So for sure, we don't sweep it away and say, oh, we did well without cell phones. Sure we did, but we can be thankful that we have it for an emergency in that storm, right? When you're not just waiting by the side of the road hoping someone will stop, you can call, and we give thanks for that. How about contact despite distance? Again, Tyler built up Team Belgrave 2 weeks ago. He used technology rightly, and we were built up because we were far away from you, and he built us up. Joy in the hospital room on Sunday night, Scots on a Sunday night, connect with family through technology, and we say amen. Thank God for that, right? How about signed documents? You go through processes now. I can't believe we've been involved with some of that lately, just a push of a button. And they give you three types of signatures. You just kind of push on there. It's amazing, the technology. Whatever happened to the fax machine? Productivity, the tools and methods that are used now, right? Not just spade and shovel, but we have all manner of tools and new tools, right, that help us do work. And we thank God for that. Methods. We have industry, and really in the good sense, right, where we can get more done for the Lord. And the research. Again, you talk to Jerry where he's been blessed by that. I just cannot believe the things that AI can do with research. It's basically, it's being unleashed, right, on a limited set, granted, But it can go and call you a whole bunch of information in seconds. Very, very helpful, as opposed to, I think it's called the generative AI stuff, which they'll get into what that is, creating content, more just literally culling information to help you with your research. Very, very helpful. And how about to the glory of God? Whether it's the CN Tower to Dubai, I'm not talking about the men that made those. I don't know about you, but in our travels over the years, sometimes you just look at things, right? And you just are in awe, and then you think it's nothing. This man-made thing is nothing compared to the God-created things around it, right? As amazing as they are. I think of some cathedrals, especially if you go across the pond. I mean, those are majestic. Microchips, how much thinking can be in a microchip? And how much more now? I don't even know. Daniel probably, who knows what the latest technology is. He would know what this little chip can think and do, right? It's just incredible, right? But God has put even more into our brains. When you think about, you hear different things about unraveling all the highways of our brain and what that would equal. It's just glory to God. And then airplanes, where you can survey creation, to inventions. Think about the many inventors and what they've created. All of it, rightly used, the blessing of it should be pointing us to the great Creator and giving Him glory for these things. That should be our right response in a grand sense. But how, when we think about this, as we kind of land here and point toward next week, so how should we approach technology? In one sense, we've answered that question already, but we want to give you a bit more than that. We've already recognized tonight we have a tendency to fall off two sides or either side and not stay on the horse a little bit. So what does that look like? And we want to have a discussion about that and consider what it means to be balanced in our approach to technology. And again, yes, at least on your question, AI in particular, which will be one of the big ones which we're navigating today. So discerning technology will be next week. Any final questions? We're right on time, but maybe time for one or two before we break for fellowship. Any closing thoughts on technology before we go?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. There you go.
Like when you're creating something, all the things you mentioned is wonderful. The only thing is that we have to be careful when technology, like AI, there's probably other ones like those microchips or whatever. Who puts that information, that intelligence in there?
Mm.
Just be careful if it has to do with your thinking or giving you information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how do you know if that's not if that's the right information, it's been manipulated? That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Things that you can see, absolutely, doctors helping and all that, absolutely. But I don't know, it's this other stuff is like, it's probably because I don't understand it.
Maybe Elisa, it's stuff. You're not alone. You're not alone, and I think you're alluding to many things in that. And one of them is trust, right? Can we trust what we're reading? Do we know where it's coming from? One of the big things we say these days is, where is that from? Someone will put something before me, and one of my first instincts is, okay, who wrote this? Where is it coming from? And even then, it may say so-and-so who is trusted, but we're in an age where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. So at least that's what we want help, or we're looking for help with navigating. And it is a very difficult environment, especially if you're spending time online looking for information, which sadly that's most people. You're in very difficult waters if that's what you're doing, right? Now I think about this, let me leave you with this to kind of maybe pull the curtain on next week, versus the trusted, I can see Elisa and Jerry and be with you and hear from you and hear directly from you, and of course the Word of God, which is certain and never changes. It should, if anything, it should be driving us more and more to the rock solidness and the firm truth, right? It should be doing that. But on your point, Elisa, we have to live in Canaan. We have to navigate living in this world, and we need help doing that. Because, we do have things. In fact, was it David you were telling me, one of the things I didn't know you can do, and I'm learning from you all and Jerry, that now, as a patient in Ontario, you have access to everything the doctor is going to say to you and do to you. And David was just telling me, you can go online, and I think you pay a fee, but you get, or you just are free. You go on in every term, every procedure, And I might submit, and David, you could speak to this more, you probably should be doing that, because self-advocacy has never been bigger in this medical environment, right? Being able to know and understand if something's delinquent or understanding what it is. So you kind of need to do that. What is going on with my body? I haven't heard from the doctor. I don't know, but you have access to this, so you look it up. And even then, you have to be careful, as I've shared with you all, right? Going online and looking up symptoms and all that, that's a whole other world, right? Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. So this is where we're going to work through this over the next 2 weeks. What are just some principles in God's word as we look to tiptoe in this environment? That's really good, Alisa. That's our aim. So meditations as we continue. All right, let me pray, and we can continue to fellowship and enjoy time with each other. Father, we do give you thanks and praise for this time tonight where we could consider the topic of technology. Lord, help us even as we open up the discussion tonight and consider that technology flows from who you are and what you've ordained for your created order. Help us then to use, like all things in your creation, to use it rightly, wisely, and to use it for your glory. Lord, as we think of these things over the next few weeks, guide our hearts to the truth and truthful ends, and help us be edification to each other as we consider these things, as we share experiences and insights, Lord. And we recognize that everyone is coming from a different place with different fears and trepidations and uses, Lord. So help us come together as a group. Our aim is to honor you with the things you've given to us. So help us, we pray, and especially now as we go out and be dismissed into fellowship for the evening, we do it with thanksgiving. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.